do 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 do. Business, business everywhere runs a country through your hair. Lay my life on the line to dare all these posers everywhere. Business, business in your face, profit making every place. Even rebel music's laced. Time to give those fakes a taste. Who made business of the earth? Determined its godly worth. Time to put it in a hearse before this place really bursts. Business, business everywhere. Babies use the word before they learn to walk the stairs. Anybody here say World Trade Organization? Perpetuating, exploiting peoples, tribes, and nations. Let's see if we can see how far back bad business started. Long before the pharaohs and the day the sea was parted. When Moses led the slaves through the waves to be saved. But tell me, did things really change? Look around the world, the top to down is getting awful strange. Bad business getting poor people in a tizziness. Makes them want to blow up Babylon so high it's dizziness. Business at the center of the WTO. World Trade, what? OWTC center? You know, a disaster. Business making pollution grow faster. Made a crook of the doctor and the pastor. Took the president and made of him a bastard and sells to you the rip-off rapper on your ghetto blaster. Who wants money first and justice second? I'm wrecking this. Throw the merchants out the church, they're begging for a king-size downfall. Beggars in the street because of y'all. Let it be known that dirty business made the world trade fall. Not terrorism, but businessism itself. Like the media putting war flicks on your shelf. A lot of wealth in your daily news and TV too. Papers, capers, congressmen are just escapers, it's true. Yeah. While the refugees go do 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 do. Business, business everywhere earns the country through your hair. Lay my life on the line to dare all these posers everywhere. Business, business in your face, profit making every place. Even rebel music's laced. Time to give those fakes a taste. Who made business of the earth? Determined its godly worth. Time to put it in a hearse before this place really bursts. Maybe I can put this differently. The new world order's gonna get hurt just by being me. Cause I ain't seen nothing but hype, no controversy. And so it looks like this time it might have to be me. So, yeah, confidentially, it's my personal business how the rock star gets fame. Exploiting poor folks to get rich, so tell me who's to blame. Shame on you, you poser, wake up, party's over. Kill the Land Rover, army buggy, sold the world over. Yeah, the world is soon to be over. The way this here deal's going down, that's why it's my personal business how the Bush and Cheney families been doing business with the Hussein Laden families. And getting fights when things don't go quiet, right, you see? And whip up wars when any profits for the military. The chickens already came home to roost. The cat is out the bag with tea shopping on the truth. But even if the dirty businessmen get their wars, the truth's been told and will be known and grown forevermore. So if anybody doubts, look how Nero's remembered. Every lie finally leads to time and God surrenders. Yeah, while the refugees go do 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 do. Business, business everywhere runs the country through your hair. Lay my life on the line to dare all these posers everywhere. Business, business in your face, profit making every place. Even rebel music's laced. Time to give those fakes a taste. Who made business of the earth? Determined its godly worth. Time to put it in a hearse before this whole wide world bursts.
Welcome to Great Speeches and Interviews on Axis Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman, and you can hear us live at axissacramento.org, or you can listen to this program and past programs at greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com. Today's program includes What is the Future of Journalism and Internet Access? Josh Silver, co-founder and CEO of Free Press, and a blogger, attempts to answer these questions. And then, after that, Charles Ferguson on the Charlie Rose Show. Charles Ferguson talks about his documentary, Inside Job, and the economic crash. Charles Ferguson is the founder and president of Representational Pictures, Inc., and the director and producer of No End in Sight, The American Occupation of Iraq.
We must relentlessly expose the quid pro quo of money and political favors and paint corrupt politicians with a scarlet letter of shame in their home districts. We must create real political pain for anyone who chooses corporate benefactors over his or her constituents. At the same time, we must advance a broad range of pro-democracy reforms, campaign finance reform, universal voter registration, redistricting reform, election integrity, constitutional amendments that affirm corporations do not enjoy the same First Amendment rights as people, and that money does not equal speech. Senate filibuster and electoral college reform, instant runoff voting, proportional representation, and more transparency. These issues must be placed upon a political chessboard and played with more strategic precision by the skilled advocates who are tired of being taken down by corporate lobbyists. On the informed citizenry issue, there are two fronts for reform that mirror the two major problems, infrastructure and content. In order to ensure fast, affordable, uncensored internet for every American, we must engage in the wonky but crucial policy fights for internet service provider competition and net neutrality rules that prevent ISPs from turning the internet into cable television. We must secure large swaths of the public airwaves for new wireless ISPs to compete and for innovators to thrive. We must act as vigilant watchdogs, calling out companies that break the law or rip off consumers. Taken together, these fights lead the way to open, universally accessible communications for every American. On the content side, we will surely need to rely on old-fashioned American innovation. I think Lewis represents that with some of the projects he's done, and there are thousands like him across the country. But there is a hard reality that we can't ignore. With the divorce of advertising and news content brought by the rise of the internet, there's simply not enough money in the form of advertising, subscriptions, and philanthropy to support the depth and breadth of journalism that is necessary, especially for local and international reporting. With this in mind, the most promising solution is to bolster non-commercial public media. Currently, our public broadcasting system is among the lowest funded per capita in the developed world, receiving less than $2 per taxpayer per year. Compare that to Denmark at over $100 or England at over $80. More public funding for public media will surely require improvements to the current system. A stronger firewall must be created to protect it from undue political pressure. Public funding must be increased without relying on annual congressional appropriations. We must expand the tent so that a broader range of independent media, including ventures like the Bay Area News Project and others like the MinnPost and the Texas Tribune, could receive public funds. We must diversify the age, class, and race of audience and content, and we must improve the leadership, performance, and infrastructure across public media. If you're shaking your head and thinking that government has no role in journalism or media, you're ignoring the facts. Here are the facts. A study by The Economist magazine concludes that the world's healthiest democracies also enjoy the best-funded public media systems. A fresh study from New York University's Professor Rod Benson just out last month looked at 14 public media systems around the world funded at $30 to $134 per capita, much higher than ours, and found that all, quote, provide more and higher quality public affairs programming and a greater diversity of genre and unique perspectives than their commercial counterparts. The reality is this: there is no other viable economic model or institution capable of filling the news void, and empirical proof from around the world shows it's the right solution. Now, I realize that in these last 28 minutes, I've hit you with a lot of ideas. So I'm going to leave you with this. Our government and our nation, I believe, is in serious trouble. The supremacy of the elite corporate complex has put the gap between the rich and poor at levels that are not sustainable. K Street lobbyists prevent reforms to every issue that face natural industry opposition. Americans have access to plenty of media noise, but not enough critical, hard-hitting journalism. And things will get worse unless we rethink our priorities and focus the bulk of our philanthropic and advocacy resources on the root of the problem that I've described. These issues are decidedly nonpartisan. They're hurting Americans both liberal and conservative. Reform efforts must embrace and engage everyone, from the most lefty activists here in San Francisco to the most conservative Tea Party members in the Bible Belt. These issues also do not feature polar bears sinking on icebergs. They don't have natural disaster victims. They are cerebral, and they require a logic chain to understand how they are the reforms that make every other reform possible. As such, they play poorly in the reptilian dance of American media and politics, but they can and will resonate with the right messages and a big tent approach that embraces the widest range of stakeholders from every place in the political spectrum. If I have provided the logic chain to just one or two of you tonight, if I have convinced you that these two issues are the fights of our lives, then I have lived up to the decision I made when I returned from my terrifying journey to Peru. I have succeeded in what has become the Paul Revere moment of our times. Only this time, the enemy isn't coming. It's already here. It has taken the capital. It must be driven out. And it will take all of us in this room, everyone listening to this broadcast, and many, many more across the country to succeed. Nothing less than our future depends on it. Thank you.
Thanks to Josh Silver, President and CEO of the Free Press. I should just mention, I work for California Watch, and we didn't really explain that in the beginning. I actually worked for the San Francisco Chronicle on the editorial board and other capacities for many years, and then we've set up this new venture to cover California at the time when all these Sacramento bureaus have been shrunk or closed down altogether. And we based at the Center for Investigative Reporting in Berkeley. So actually this question relates to that. Question from the audience. And please submit your questions and we'll try to get in as many as possible. Okay, so the first question. Do you think that all big media such as the New York Times or Wall Street Journal are bad? Or do they still serve an important purpose, particularly in regards to investigative reporting?
Absolutely. They're incredibly important. And the farthest thing I can imagine from bad, certainly they have their failings. They made mistakes in the run-up to Iraq, and they make mistakes of omission and poor perspective, like any outlet, frequently. However, that's not really the point. The real problem that we face is less about them and more about the fact that that's not where most Americans are getting their news. The vast majority of the latest Pew numbers, I didn't include it in my speech, in 2000, the number of Americans who said that their primary source of news and information was commercial television was 74%. Over the following 10 years, up until last year, that number, actually it was to 2009, that number only went down 5 points to 69%. So There's two problems. One, people are not getting their news from newspapers. And two, it is true, and people may be thinking this in the crowd, and it is true that newspapers do drive the news agenda, but as these papers are forced to, most of them are forced to lay off reporters, you're getting a smaller and smaller so-called news hole, and you're getting a smaller and smaller choice of stories for television and radio to use.
Okay, now I think you could have all anticipated there is a question here about WikiLeaks. How do you feel about the WikiLeaks organization, and is there a place for complete transparency in government? I'm not sure that those are related, but let me give an addendum. Is WikiLeaks a natural outgrowth to the shrinkage or the failure of the mainstream media to expose the kinds of issues and backroom dealings and so on that WikiLeaks has exposed?
Yeah. You know, this is a tricky one, but the answer is clear. The government should not and cannot censor the media. And WikiLeaks is media. It is coming through the internet, and it would be a dangerous precedent if our government, which prides itself on our First Amendment protections, would start to block and censor WikiLeaks or any other website. So the only real solution to WikiLeaks is that the government has to get its house in order and protect its secrets. But to say WikiLeaks should not exist or should be shut down would be to say that, you know, Daniel Ellsberg should not have, under any circumstances, for example, leaked the Pentagon Papers. It's the same thing. It's just a different platform.
Okay, this is kind of a related question. Small outlets have no or limited legal defense funds. What do you suggest? Example, we run a content site, social network. A member broke a detailed story about a local bank's corruption and the Fed's shutdown of that bank. Within 1 week, we received cease and desist letters threatening us personally with defamation. WikiLeaks without a budget.
That's a good question. I hate to do this at a forum like this, but I'm going to have to get back to that questioner because I do believe there are some organizations that could be helpful, and I can talk to you after the presentation, but they certainly need and deserve help.
Okay. Here's, I think, is also a central question. Do you think that the problem is more structural, as in the citizenry is not educated enough to discern between what passes for news and journalism and sensationalism?
A good question. I mean, I do think that there are three factors that we do have to be clear-eyed about, and in out of worry that my speech would go on too long, I actually cut this out of my speech, so I'm glad to whoever asked this question. I think, number one, the world is a much more complicated place than it was 100 years ago. 100 years ago, a person pretty much needed to know how to take apart their tractor and put it back together again, and there just was not nearly the volume of information coming through, and that's really difficult. Number two, we no longer, because of it's a catch-22, because of the failure of the media and the way it's been so polarized, if you can imagine sort of Fox News versus MSNBC, there's no basic agreement on the basic facts of the political moment. And when there's no common ground about what the actual facts are, because the facts, as brought to you by this media outlet, are so fundamentally different than another one, it's really hard to even have a starting point for understanding. And then third, I think there's a deeper crisis, and it has to do with the scarce funding of public education for decades now, where children are graduating from public education institutions without real critical thinking skills and real basic civics. And I think that, too, contributes to the problem. So, yes, that makes a reality where it's not as simple as do good journalism and everyone will be enlightened. There's more to it.
And Josh, you were talking about this internet technology, which is has transformed totally the media landscape. But I'm wondering, and this is an issue you deal with in your organization. You know, most people are just trying to figure out how to connect, you know, Netscape to their TV, or just make sure they can, you know, download the New York Times on their iPhones. But the technology is sort of a mystery to most people. Highly technical, and all these battles that you are dealing with in Washington, I think most people are totally unaware of, and when they try to focus on it, it's highly complex and technical. Isn't that a problem in terms of getting people engaged in these issues?
It is.
And how do you overcome it?
Although I do have one, I have a rhetorical question back to you, and are you talking about people over 40 or under 40?
Oh, I need to distinguish between the two.
Yeah, I'm over 40, so I was allowed to do that. It is a problem, and it goes to what I mentioned in my remarks, which is that these are very cognitive, sort of left brain issues. But the way to get around that is to paint a clear picture to people about how these issues affect their day to day lives, and that you can do. The Comcast-NBC merger is going to raise costs and diminish choices for people. The problem in internet provider competition is going to make already really expensive bills that you're paying to Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Verizon, or AT&T even higher. People get that, and they also are increasingly getting the corruption that is Washington and the need for that to be exposed and the need to have viable media institutions to bring that to them. So, I mean, I think that That's part of the answer. The second part of the answer is we have to get outside of ourselves and understand that we're not going to be around in 40 years. And these debates really are about our kids and our grandkids. They're not about us. So we have to have the vision to get the world, to get our country, to get our technology and our media in the right place so that it will serve them rather than hurt them.
I just want to remind you that you're listening to the Commonwealth Club of California radio program, and our guest is Josh Silver, President and CEO of the Free Press, who is discussing the future of journalism and Internet access. Josh, you mentioned the Comcast-NBC merger. I wanted just a couple of minutes. Why is that such a bad thing? Because, in fact, you could argue that maybe this will make the whole process more efficient. You know, when I'm trying to get my Internet thing and I got the cable, all these different companies, I'm dealing with five different bills every month. You know, isn't there an argument to be made for efficiency in this case?
No, not at all. Afraid not. You don't get a bill from NBC every month. So.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is a simple matter of the companies that control the distribution of media should not also be able to own the content, because it takes away what people don't realize is that Comcast has to negotiate with NBC to buy the programming that it then resells to you and everyone who's listening to this program. That's how it works. And so by Comcast not having to negotiate anymore, they then set the prices and they become like a cartel and they remove that competitive pressure. That's problem number one. Problem number two is that we already have a crisis with cable. You're hearing about it today on the pages of Huffington Post, I believe, where you can't watch Al Jazeera on cable television except in three markets in this country. That is because it's the pure discretion of these cable giants as to what they run on their networks. And if think about it this way, former Vice President Al Gore started a TV network, Current TV, and he put tons of money and tons of investor money into it under the premise that he could get this channel onto cable networks and have this great channel for young people. Because of the cable cartel and their awesome power and their unwillingness to let Current onto their offerings without a massive, massive amount of payment, they were unable to do it. And Current never became what he had hoped it to be. So if a former vice president with the Rolodex he has can't get his outlet on cable, then what about us? So it's counterintuitive then when NBC could have been sold to any number of different companies. Why give it to a company that already enjoys too much power and has demonstrated time and time again, they were the only major company that's been caught illegally blocking internet content in a so-called BitTorrent case where the FCC officially sanctioned them. They blocked political ads of opponents to political allies of Comcast. They're not a nice company either. And they did nothing to demonstrate that they're worthy of one of the largest content houses in the country.
Oh. Que digan que estoy dormido y que me traigan aquí. México lindo y querido, si vuelo lejos de ti. Ay, en la fiesta de la tierra mía, que se alegra con canciones de mares y reposo.
More from Great Speeches and Interviews after these messages.